So this session is on WebMatrix, and let me put the slides there. I'm also going to try to do most of the session as a demo compared to using slides, and I'll try to keep it really fast-paced. So in this session, we're going to be learning about what WebMatrix is. And so the first thing that I want to share with you is that WebMatrix was announced, the beta, we are currently in a beta version, was announced maybe 2 or 3 months ago already. And basically, WebMatrix is a new web development tool from Microsoft. I like to see it more as a scripting tool. And WebMatrix, when it was announced, it was initially showcased as this new tool. And a lot of people, especially .NET users, raise your hand if you're a .NET developer. ASP.NET experience, a lot of people here. So I actually feel a little bit intimidated because my background is on design. I studied architecture, as in houses and buildings, and then moved into interactive design. And this is the first time that I do a coding session. So we're going to program, so I'll give it a try. But if I am successful, it'll mean that one of the components of WebMatrix will be, you know, very successful and useful for people like me, who are not necessarily developers, but web designers, or also some web professionals. We know that a lot of web developers use ASP.NET, others don't. Who uses PHP? A few of you. Okay, so for those people who use PHP, you know, you've found that PHP is this scripting, a script-based way of adding or creating dynamic-based websites and creating interactivity. And so ASP.NET has all the power and has, in terms of creating applications for the enterprise. And so WebMatrix looks into democratizing or expanding the access of ASP.NET to people who have traditionally not approached ASP.NET. Now, again, when we talked about WebMatrix initially, when we released the product, a lot of people, especially ASP.NET developers, they were wondering, well, why do we need another web development tool? We already have Visual Studio, and we love Visual Studio, so why do we have another tool? And that's one of the big questions that I'm going to answer. To begin with, I would like to say that WebMatrix, even though it's a tool, in the background, it really has three new technologies that we're going to see in action today. It has something called IIS Express, and everyone knows what IIS is, right, on the server. And so what IIS Express is, it's a small or reduced version of the full IIS on the server. But IIS Express runs locally in your computer. Now, if you're a .NET user, you are familiar with Cassini or the ASP.NET Web Development Server, right? Everyone, when you are in Visual Studio and you test a web application, a website, Cassini or ASP.NET Web Development Server shows up and you can see your website locally. The problem with that server that we all use as of today in Visual Studio is that it is not IIS. It's actually a separate code base compared to IIS. And so a lot of you, I'm sure, have run through some problems when you build a website or an application locally and then you put it up in Windows Server and it acts differently and it throws certain maybe errors or exceptions that you were not seeing locally. And the problem is that Cassini wasn't the same server. So what the team did is they took IIS itself and they made it smaller, local based, so that now when you test your websites locally, that's going to be exactly the same that you see up there. So that big problem we've had in the last few years, it's going to be addressed with IIS Express. SQL Server Compact, we've been using SQL Server for some time, but again, if you, as a developer, as a .NET developer, you've ever tried to install SQL Server, I'm sure you know that there are some settings that you have to install. Someone was trying to download, I think one of the other speakers in the other room actually, they were trying to download SQL Server for their session, and it took them like 2 hours or something like that. So it's a bigger download. It's a little bit more complex to install, to set up. For someone like me with no experience in databases, it would be probably impossible for me to set it up, or I would take a long time. So SQL Server is a local file-based database system that is, of course, based on SQL Server. It runs locally. And Finally, we have ASP.NET Web Pages. And ASP.NET Web Pages is a new way for you to write ASP.NET applications or websites with a script, a new script syntax we call Razor. And that's really what I personally think it's a game changer and what I'm really excited about I'll be showing you today. So these three new technologies, IIS Express, SQL Server Compact, and ASP.NET Web Pages with the new ASP.NET Razor syntax are going to be available on both Visual Studio and this other free tool, very lightweight little tool called WebMatrix. So if you're a Visual Studio user, you're going to get access to these technologies. So what I'm about to show you today, I'm going to be using WebMatrix because that's a tool where I feel kind of comfortable as being not a Visual Studio user as of today. But again, keep in mind that if you are a Visual Studio user, you're going to get all of these there. Now, one of the other questions that we get very often is, okay, so we have ASP.NET, and we've had ASP.NET web forms for many years now. And then we have ASP.NET MVC, which we've been talking about a lot, especially in the last couple years. And then now we're saying we have something new, one third thing called ASP.NET Web Pages with Razor syntax. So what's the difference between all these things, right? And so web forms is basically a way for you to use ASP.NET in a very productive way. It's great for business applications, for the enterprise, if you just want to drag and drop controls, buttons, list boxes, any type of other control, you just drag and drop it, and you can put together an application. It's very fast and productive. ASP.NET MVC started growing up a couple years ago, and it basically looks into creating kind of the next level of sophistication in terms of how you create ASP.NET applications. There's a lot of separation of concerns. That's a lot of the thing that is mentioned all the time. You separate the model from the view from the controller, and that allows applications to be more maintainable. It's easier for you to do migration, to collaborate with other people, and to have specialists. One of the things that we keep seeing is that in development shops, whether they're small or big, specialization continues to manifest. And so by dividing the different concerns of creating an application, this makes it easier for everyone to get the best out of their particular interests. So what is ASP.NET Web Pages? Well, these are three key phrases that I've heard in Redmond when me as a designer have talked to the team. Scott Guthrie is the one who owns this, right? All his team, they own ASP.NET. And when talking to some people in his team, I've asked them, so I'm a designer. I don't know anything about ASP.NET. How would you describe ASP.NET Web Pages with Razor syntax? And as you can see on the top one, that's the one that made me understand. ASP.NET Web Pages, so the third on the bottom of this list, is basically the V of ASP.NET MVC. The V stands for view, which is basically something, or it's kind of the layer that will contribute to visualizing or viewing an ASP.NET-based application. Why do we think it's important to empower this particular area? Well, as you will see throughout today, people, again, like me or other web professionals, web developers, even if you're an advanced .NET developer, you will find that with this layer, you can separate much more easily the presentation layer of a web application, but without having to go to web forms. Separation of concerns, like we said, it's another of these concepts that goes around MVC, separating these different layers of application. And again, one thing that is really cool is it's great for developers and even for designers. If you're a designer and today you're being asked to create a website that requires even a minimal set of database needs, or maybe you have to put together a form and send an email, today what you would do is you would probably go to PHP, copy a script, take it, trying to kind of tweak it and make it work, right? That's the way it works. In ASP.NET, if you went to the full-blown ASP.NET, that's you could go for something like that, or maybe you already have some libraries. So we think that this is going to make it basically more, it's going to make ASP.NET more accessible for a lot of people. For .NET developers, I think this is also going to help you collaborate much easier with front-end web developers or front-end web designers without you having to jeopardize the quality of your code on the back-end. So you can still do these ASP.NET web pages on the front-end, and on the back-end you can continue to push hard in sophisticated, more sophisticated ASP.NET code. Go here. So you would usually, I should be wearing a t-shirt that says, I love Web Matrix. But in reality, in our world, as you will learn today, the at symbol is fundamental for the new syntax, for Razor syntax. So I'm going to be showing you a little bit of how this works. Now, so Web Matrix has different things that make it really interesting for new web developers or for designers. It's basically a very small package. I think it's about 15 megabyte download, very easy to install. It installs via the web platform installer. So if you have that, it will come as part of that installer. And as part of this package, one of the things that you get is that you get a unified environment that allows you to develop applications, to set up databases, to test these applications, and to publish them. If you've used the Microsoft Web Gallery, Web Application Gallery in the past, you will find that with Web Matrix, you can basically, let me go here and show you. You could go here to Web Matrix and you could say create a new site from Web Gallery. And then here we have a large number of open source web applications. I'm sure you've played with Web Gallery before. But what we did is instead of keeping the Web Gallery, oh, nice. It's in beta. let's launch it again. So the Web Gallery used to be like this external separate thing that we had before. But basically what we did is we are integrating it as part of Web Matrix. So you can literally say, go new project, which is what I'm trying to do right now. And it's probably going onto the web, maybe requesting the list of applications that we have available. And it would install, you know, you can install open source applications like PHP, PHP-based applications like WordPress or Drupal Joomla, or in the ASP.NET world, you have really cool things like Umbraco, .NET Nuke, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Could it be because, let's see, could it be the internet connection? Let's try again. Let's try one more time. And if not, then I won't show you Web Gallery. But anyway, so you can create unified like experiences by just installing the open source application. Let's see if it works this time. It should have shown up already, so I don't have big hopes but this. For this second try, third try. There you go, it's kind of loading. But basically, if I scroll down before it crashes, there you go. Well, you got to see we have many applications there. But what it does is it allows you to install your application. So instead of having to go to each of those different websites of open source providers, download the package, figure out how you set up password and everything else, Web Matrix does it all for you. So you get the project in the tool, and then you start configuring it. So Web Matrix has to work today. Otherwise, it's not going to be fun. But I'm just not going to hit that button. And let me go back here. So it's a very easy to install tool. It grows with you in the sense that once you build your application or your website locally, you can always take it online. And if you ever need to scale it up, maybe you started with a small site for your customer, and then the customer starts getting more traction, more visits to his or her site, you can always migrate to fuller versions of SQL or some of these other technologies. As we said, it allows you to quickly put together applications based on open source communities. The database, as I mentioned, is very easy to manage. So basically, let's go here and let's see if I just create a new site. There you go. Please, WebMatrix, don't fail me. So here you go. So let's, I could go to databases down here. We have the concept of workspaces. So if you're working with databases, you can, it's as easy as just coming down here, getting new database, and here you could create catalog, and then you could create a new table, and then you start defining your properties, et cetera. We're going to do a little bit more of this throughout the session, but I don't have to install SQL or set up, you know, connections or anything like that. It's just part of the tool, and it takes care of everything. The other thing we have here is, well, we've been trying to pay a lot of attention to the user experience of the tool itself so that it's very easy for you to use. And we have little things like if I go back here and I create a new file, I'll just create whatever file. But you will find that the UI and the way it just works, it's actually kind of slow right now, but there you go. It's just a little different than Visual Studio. If you're not a Visual Studio, that's, you know, WebMatrix will make you feel much more comfortable. It's much easier to use, and it's kind of, you know, it doesn't have as many options. You can always connect to Visual Studio if you want to. We have a code editor, and the code editor is quite simple. Again, it's not as sophisticated as Visual Studio. In Visual Studio, you're going to have IntelliSense, which we all love. And so here, more as a scripting tool, you will have code coloring. You have, of course, basic editing capabilities. Whether you're writing PHP, ASP.NET, JavaScript, any of those things. More than Hello World means that basically this is not just about creating HTML and CSS. This is really helping you create much more powerful or dynamic applications. We have this concept of helpers. So Twitter, we have a helper called Twitter. So if you want to add Twitter functionality to your website, you would simply write add twitter.profile. And in this case, you know, I'm writing my alias, or you could perform a search. And again, I'm going to show you that in a moment. Desktop or server, it's all the same. Again, it's about this smooth transition of creating locally and deploying remotely. Tightly knit, this is basically something that allows you to take a look at the responses from the server. We have a way for you, if I come back here, and I'm basically just giving you a very quick tour. Here on the requests, when you build your website and you test it, you can take a look at the requests that the server is getting. Which server? Well, IIS Express, obviously. And so with that, those requests, you can keep track of what's going on with your website. But all is within the same tool. You don't have to go to IIS externally, et cetera, et cetera. We also have a search engine optimization. We know that when you create websites, search engine optimization can help you or your customer a lot. So you can run reports on, let me go back here. You can run reports. Where are those? Here. And with these reports, basically, you're going to get tips. Very specific tips. It's not just warnings like we've done in the past. These are actual tips on how you can enhance your search engine optimization for your particular website. Site publishing, well, we've incorporated something called the Microsoft Hosting Gallery. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but basically we bring in special offers from hosting companies, and those offers will be exposed in WebMatrix, so when you're ready to publish, if you don't have a hosting provider, you can choose it from there and deploy directly. Now, if you have your own hosting provider, or even you are providing the hosting service, you can always upload projects via FTP, which is, you know, the most common way, or you can even use Microsoft Web Deploy if you support that format. So, okay, so let's go into the demo. The idea here is that we're going to build this little website for a company. called Northwind Traders. And Microsoft has these fictitious company names that we can use for demos. I'm sure you've seen Contoso or Fabricam. We always use those names. So this time we tried to use something different, Northwind Traders. This is a company that produces and sells wind turbines. So we're going to create their first little website using WebMatrix. So let's go back here to WebMatrix. And I already created my first file. But let me create a game for you so that I show you how this works. And again, all these concepts, even though I'm doing it in WebMatrix, these are the same concepts you're going to see in Visual Studio. So I'll go ahead and go to New, and I'm going to create a new file. And you can see we have a range of different files that you can create right over here. The file format that we use for ASP.NET web pages with Razor syntax is called CSHTML if you're using C Sharp, or VVHTML if you're targeting Visual Basic. So that's the extension. So in this case, let's call this Hello World. And again, if throughout the session you notice any typo or anything that you can help me debug, by all means, please just raise your hand. So in this case, I'm just going to say this is the Hello World sample. And here on their body, we could do an H1. So I press F12. And we should see. Did I save? Yeah. Okay. I've seen this before, but let me see if I can try it again. Maybe I can. Let me see if I can kill this. I hope it's not there. Well, this should just work. There's no. Updata. It's possible, yeah. So maybe it was the way I created the site initially. Because in theory, these sites should just be saved here. Let's call it Hello World. And let's hit OK. Oh, already exists. OK, Hello World too. Let's see. Let's do a new file, CSHTML, Hello World, and again, let's do Hello World, and here on their body, let's do H1. Let's see if it works. Oh, interesting. Turn on the internet. Oh, see, that's so weird. Let me see if I can figure this out. There you go. I don't know. I don't know why it was sending the error. Oh, you were not seeing the error, by the way, right? I had it in my screen. Yeah. Okay, so that's why. So that's just a Hello World, very simple. So now let's add something here. And today is daytime.now. And let's press F12. And so this, let me show you what I just did. Of course, you can see the result. But what happens here is that when you want to add Razor base code with ASP.NET, you simply add the add symbol, and then you add ASP.NET. Now, you can, if you know ASP.NET, this is basically all you need, literally. By doing that, you can embed ASP.NET within HTML. Now, in web forms, in ASP.NET web forms, you could do kind of something similar, but the difference here is you're not really creating controls. It's just raw ASP.NET. Now, Razor or ASP.NET web pages provides a few other things that you can use here. So if I go and I create a line break, and then I go, I can call Twitter. And notice how I'm mixing completely HTML and ASP.NET. And so I could do here profile. This is what I was doing a moment ago. And then one thing I will need to do here, and this is only while the beta is around, is usually this is all you would need. You would press F12 and the Twitter feed would show up. But right now I have to add this reference. This will go away in the next beta. You won't even need to have references up here. So if you're a designer, you're now seeing these, don't even worry about this. Let's refresh, and if I have internet connection, which I do, I believe. Let me close this too. There you go. It's a little slow, but it's loading. But basically, this other thing that I just added is something called helpers. So when you use ASP.NET web pages, it includes the ability for you to access ASP.NET. But there is also this new type of object called helpers. And so what I think has been happening with the ASP.NET team is that one of the areas where we learned a lot from Silverlight was the ability to have developers and designers collaborate. And so helpers, in my mind, is very similar to what you see in user controls in Silverlight, where a developer will create something that can be really powerful, might have some advanced connectivity, like this particular element, and then this will be exposed for a front-end web developer or a front-end web designer to just leverage. And as you're going to see in the rest of the demo, we're actually going to take that Twitter profile, and you can customize it visually. So that really is the basic of Razor and how you access it here. Now let's do something a little more complex in terms of functionality. So let's call this maybe just logic or whatever, and then. The other way for you to define a code block is by doing something like this. So where in the past I was just typing the add and going directly to the method, in this case you can create a code block by doing this. And so here I'm basically just going to create a variable. And here's going to be another one. And I'm going to create a list. And maybe here I will say, this is what I like. Those are my hobbies. Okay, so now if we go back down here, of course, everything else that you can use in ASP.NET, like loops or if thens, you can use here. So one of the things I can do here is I can do for each. Well, I should add my add for each. For hobby in hobbies, and then here I'm basically just gonna say. Hobbies. Oh no, I guess I could just say hobby. See if this works. Oh, the comma, right? Which one, sorry? I wonder if I'll need that one too. Okay. So you said that, well, maybe we can do this more friendly, right? Something like that. So again, just showing you a little, if you're an ASP.NET .NET developer and you're seeing this, you might be like, wow, that's kind of really different compared to what we've done in the past. But basically, we're mixing ASP.NET in this new with this new Razor syntax with HTML. And let me go back here to WebMatrix. And you know, we can basically just do all of this. Let's create another little file here. And this one, well, I guess I showed you Twitter already. So this is really the basics and how it Razor feels like. Now, if at some point you as an ASP.NET web developer created a control or a method, something that uses ASP.NET, you can create your own helpers. So just the same way that we created the Twitter, that we had the Twitter here, if you as a developer will be able to create your own helpers, and then you could share those with your team or with your front-end people, and they can then just invoke something here, right? Could literally be whatever you wanted to expose. So it's a way to package ASP.NET functionality and expose it, which is really useful. So let's start. Let's create a new site from scratch, which is going to be the site for this customer, Northwind Traders. And it's going to be an empty site, and we could call it Northwind Remix 10. And what we are going to do here is, let me go to files. Okay, so for here, right, I don't have time to design the entire website right now. So, but let's pretend that we were given the design by a web designer with HTML and CSS, or maybe we're even leveraging a template that we got from the web. And so I have a template here that I want to show you. It's right here. Remix website final here. So this Erlang 2. So this is just a template that I downloaded from freecsstemplates.com. So if you're a designer, you will most probably, designers usually don't like to work with templates. They want to create their own designs. But you know, as an example, let's pretend this was created. This has no functionality at all. Notice that if I click over these tabs, they don't do nothing. It's just the HTML and CSS. And so what I'm going to do now is I am going to take this, where's this window? This one, all these elements, including the license in this particular case. And I'm going to take it into my website that I just created right now, which is, I had some pre-built sites, but the one I'm creating with you guys is, I guess it's this one. And I'm going to copy paste those files. So I come here, Control F5 to refresh, and now everything is in here, right? So now what I want to show you is how you can take HTML and CSS, and you can put together in ASP.NET a way for you to maintain a consistent look and feel for your entire site in a single location or in a centralized location. You might be familiar, of course, with things like master pages in ASP.NET or all these concepts. Well, this is the way that you can do that now with web pages. It's a little different. So I'm going to create a new file. And I'm going to call this index.cshtml. And let's create a couple more. Well, let's first of all just go here to the index of our template. And I hope it doesn't crash. There you go. Select all the code. Literally, just copy-paste over here. Notice one thing, though. Up here, by default, we're using, you know, kind of this open doc type for HTML. The reason for this is, one of the reasons we're doing this is for HTML5 purposes. This is the doc type that the world is using because the spec is not approved yet. So I'm just going to kind of respect that there. So let's go here. Oops, hold on. go here and I'll just remove all that part. And if I press F12, we should just see the same website because it's exactly the same, right? So now let's create a couple more files. And what we want to do is we want to separate the header and the footer. So we're going to create the first page. It's going to be called header. And we never want the users to be able to call header.cshtml because it's going to look weird. So if you add an underscore at the beginning, and is this the same in ASP.NET with the underscore? Oh, so maybe that's also something new in web pages. If you add the underscore before the name of the file, then that file will not be served by the server. So it's gonna remain almost as a resource. And this, of course, will be really useful in this case, because again, we never want people to access header.cshtml. So we're going to do the same thing, but now we're going to do underscore footer. And so what we're now going to do here is we're going to the index. We're going to copy all this code all the way to our first post, which is right here. And what I'm basically going to be doing here is I'm going to be splitting our design into three parts, the header, the body, and the footer. Let's go now here, and let's copy everything but that post. Control X, footer, and substitute. Now, we go back to to index, and now we only have the body of our page there, right? So how do we bring in the header and the footer? Well, there is a command called render page where you basically go and you say footer, well, this is going to be the header, cshtml. And this other one will also go here. But this one is going to be footer. Now, you know, if I had like more complex paths, I could probably use this. I don't think I'll need it right now. But again, you can see exactly the same result. But now, structurally, internally, it's completely divided. And you can immediately start seeing the possibilities of these. You can start creating your own concepts here, your own designs that are separated. This is all pretty straightforward. Now, this is the way that you embed code or you render a page and you mix it along with another page. But how about the other scenario where you want to have a single template and then you want to apply that template to other pages? So let's try to do that. I'm going to create a new file and I'm going to call this underscore site layout. Again, I don't want this file to be served by the server. And so what I'm going to do now is, this is another method of doing a centralized look and feel. So I'm going to take back the header code, and I'm going to go down here, and I'm going to add a few spaces there so I can see where I'm adding my next piece of the content, site layout. Control V. And now here there is another command called add render body. I think it's actually just render body. Let me make sure. Oh, no. Yeah, we do need the parentheses here. So what we're now doing is we're doing the opposite. We have a single location for the template of our page, and the only thing we're leaving as open is the body of the page. So if I go back to index.cshtml, in this case, I basically can get rid of these two elements, and I could say this layout, which is another basically term where I can define the layout of this particular page. And
And actually, it's underscore site layout CSHTML, close, and F12. Semicolon, F12. And so again, you get the same results, but again, this is a different approach in case you want to have a unified template and you want to apply it to a body. Now, you can do many more interesting things in this particular case. For instance, when I render this page, it's going to be different from services, portfolio, about, contact, et cetera, et cetera. For each of these guys, we might want the title of our website to change, right? So there is something called page data. And this is something you can define any way you want. Basically, you could say, oh, well, we don't need an equal sign here. Equals home. So page data is open. You could do page data something, you know. But this is basically just a value that you are going to be passing to your layout page, which is home. And so if I go, let me save that. I go back to site layout and I go up. Here in the title, I could say add page data title. And let's go back to CSS and press F12. Oh, again. There you go. And so you can see now we have home. So that's another interesting concept with using layout pages. You can very easily send information back and forward. But again, you don't have to. It's just it's a dramatically different syntax from what we have in ASP.NET today. It's not like you're really doing the same in terms of calling objects, but we're abstracting all of that for the user. If you noticed, when I created variables earlier, I didn't even have to specify the type. I just said var name equals Arturo or whatever. And so I know that's going to be kind of interesting. So we have this. And the next thing we want to do is we want to add some other pages. So let's add new file. And this is going to be about. We're going to start basically building the entire site. And I might just copy this right now. And about will be very similar to the others. But this one is going to be called about. And then we're going to create another one, which is going to be contact. And here under contact, same thing. And finally, I'm going to do catalog. So the next thing I want to do is I want to start allowing the user to navigate through the different screens. Because if you guys remember, let's put here, I still cannot navigate here, right? So the way I'm going to do that is by going here to my site layout, because all the different sections will share the same feeling and the same navigation metaphor. And so here, this is what I'm using as my navigation bar. You might notice that I'm currently applying the CSS class to the home button. That's why the home button looks like it's selected and the other ones are not. But now because we want to allow people to navigate, we want this to be dynamic, right? So I do have a code snippet here that I will copy, because otherwise it will not take a long time. So this is going to be, should get all the Lee. Oh, hold on. This one right here. And I'll explain to you what we're doing here. But again, with the same concept of adding a block of code, we are creating a new dictionary, which is for if you don't code, you know, I learned that there are different things like arrays and dictionaries and lists. So this dictionary can host a key and a value. And so the in our case, the key will be the name of our page, and then the value will be the location of its corresponding file. And then the only thing I'm doing is I'm doing a cycle throughout all the different items in there. And if, again, we're leveraging our page data, if the page data title that the other page sent equals this item, then we're going to make this the active item. Otherwise, we're just going to make it a normal static value. So go back here. So now it works, right? And now we're actually going throughout the different pages. So the next thing I want to do in contact, I want to add a form. And so let's add that. And here, let's go and add a few elements. And this is basically just going to be a form. So again, I'm going to leverage code snippet because I think we all know about this. So it's basically just a form using the post method. And we just have a series of fields like name, email, comment. We have some CSS classes that we are probably going to need. Mainly these ones over here. Let me copy them here for you. So let's go to CSS, file, and press Control V. It's just a couple CSS classes that determine some columns that will help me arrange those fields, and then just a visual look and feel for my button. So if I go back here to contact, let's see if I'm not missing anything. There you go. So it's just a form, right? So if I go back here, I could basically do, I could have an isPost. So there is something here where you go like this, and you do if isPost. And then basically, well, we could create, I guess, a few variables. Again, variable name equals request. And then this one's going to be name. And then I'm just going to copy the same, the same thing. This is going to be email, comment, email. Comment. Thank you very much. See, I will learn by the end. And then here, I basically, you entered. And then I'm just going to say, it's actually at name. Well, I guess I'll just leave it like that. At email. Comment, and that should work. Let's see. Oh, could it be this one? No, that would be weird, but let's see. Maybe it is. Oh. You know what it could be? It's, I probably need to wrap this in a p tag. I don't know. Let's see. I guess it needed to be wrapped. So if I go here to Arturo, so you get the information. But again, it's a use of the at tag. If you are a .NET developer, like most of you, if you raise your hand, you know, as long as you type in the add, you can target anything. Now, even if it doesn't follow the Razor syntax, you could still write ASP.NET. So, okay, so we have our contact form. Then under catalog, So catalog, let's go to the databases section and let's create a new database and let's call it catalog. And then here under tables, we're going to say we're going to create a few values for our database. The first one's going to be an ID, which is going to be this one. And then we're going to create, oops, did I just delete? I hope there's an undo. No undo feature request, please. There you go. Name. I will most possibly not fill out the entire database, otherwise we're not going to finish. Here you go. And varchar and false. I'm just going to add an image here to make it fast. Mm-hmm. Oops, there you go. And I'm going to save, and I'm going to call these wind turbines. And then under data, you know, I could start adding information. So let's just call them really simple, turbine X100. And then here, we're going to call it turbines. I'm going to have to add some images there. Turbine X200, and I'm probably only going to add three of them. Turbine 02, the JPEG, and finally, turbine 03.jpg. Okay, so let's save that. Let me maximize, go back to files. And now we need some images there. So let me bring in remix. This one here. And again, I'll just put those images in my folder. So they should be here now. Okay. So now the next thing is, how do we start accessing that information in the database, right? And so we get also some stuff here. Oops, let me go back here. So at the top of the page, I'm going to create a new variable. And I'm going to open it. And that's all I need to do to open it. There's just literally that method that I can call in the database object that allows me to manipulate databases. Then select query string, select everything from wind turbines order by ID. I remember the semicolon this time. And so here, there are two ways that I want to show you how you can bring in information on the front end side of things. There is a control, there is a helper that comes with ASP.NET Web Pages called a web grid. And that basically allows you to put information out. And ASP.NET, of course, has something very similar. The way you access it here, just a little bit different. Let me open here my sites. I can get a little bit of a code snippet. And let's see if it's this one here. Here it is. So for that, I need to create this new grid. So let me copy. Let's copy these two here. So we're going to do the query for our database. So data will contain everything that we want. And then we're basically creating this new web grid. It's going to be sorted by price, and it's going to have 5 rows per page. And then here, we basically just have to call it. So I'm going to copy paste this. So what is this? Well, this is just CSS. And ideally, if you wanted to keep this really clean, you would probably move this to your style, to your external style sheet. And what we're doing here is basically just defining the different columns and how each of those columns will be populated. Notice that we are basically adding using the add tag. In this case, we are pointing to the image column of our table for description. And, well, actually, I don't think I added description and price for this particular example. I think I just have these two. Yep. So, where at, sorry? Oh, thank you very much. So let's make it ID. Let's see if it works. Argument missing. I think I probably need to take this out. So with this web grid helper, it's not officially a control. We're in the web forms world, everything is a control. In this case, it's a helper. What is ASP.NET? What is that? What does that helper really do on the background with pure ASP.NET in the traditional sense? Well, it's basically formulating and generating HTML that is capable of hosting this. And this, you should be able to. Oops. Where am I clicking? There you go. This should be sortable. So you can probably see this. Now, at this point, one of the things that I learned throughout this process is that, because I didn't like this refresh. We have 10 more minutes. Okay, thank you. We have this particular control. Right now, when I'm sorting it, right, I get a full HTML page refresh, which I don't like. I would like it to happen just right there. So my first question to the team was, so how do you implement something like ASP.NET Ajax controls, like update panel or some of those cool things, right? And so the way it works in ASP.NET web pages is it doesn't interoperate with ASP.NET Ajax per se. You can use pure JavaScript or something like jQuery. I imagine that if you do ASP.NET on the background, you could leverage some of those things, but it's not part of ASP.NET web pages. So again, this is totally front-end, so jQuery might be your best friend if you want to do things like that. So the other way we could have done this, of course, is by, and let me delete all of this. Would have been something like this. Let me copy it and just show it to you. So if you don't like the look and feel, or your designer doesn't like the look and feel of that web grid, you can always kind of create your own, right? So that's what we're basically doing here. You are just going through each of the items in the query, and I think I could actually save. This is the same thing I already have up there, right? So I could just say that. We don't have description and price. So in this case, again, we kind of just serialize and go through all those things one by one. And then, of course, you could start applying CSS. So could go something like this. Oh, did I just close it? And start just doing, just CSS styling. So I think we only have like 10 minutes left. So the other thing I would like to show you before we go, because it's pretty useful, is we have another helper called video. So if you want to embed video into your site, you could always go and use the object tag and all that. But what we did is we created the ability for you to embed, you know, Flash video, Silverlight video, or Windows Media Player video. I believe this one is Media Player. So in the case of Silverlight, let me go to this one. Oh, let me share this other one with you that is finished. Here, let's see. So for example, in this case, it's getting the color. So it's video Silverlight, and basically what you do is you pass some parameters to your helper. In this case, we're simply saying, what's the path of the SAP file? The SAP file, if you're a Flash designer and you don't know Silverlight, it's kind of like the SWF. And this one is currently located here, Media Player Template. It could be called anyway, you know. You pass the width, the height, and you have a video. And if you press F12, you should be able to see the video when we go to About, I believe, is where we have it. In this case, the video player was generated using Expression Encoder, and then it was brought out and just incorporated here. And so again, just like Twitter, the Twitter helper, you also have a video helper, the WebGrid helper, and then are many, many others. There are things that allow you to add analytics to your website, so it's Google Analytics or StatCounter or one of those. You can perform also more advanced database connections or functionalities, but all using helpers. So this was just a very quick demo, and I hope it just gives you a little bit of a feeling or the sense of how ASP.NET Racer syntax and ASP.NET Web Pages works and how it can help you with that. So if you have any questions, at this point? Yes? The final release for this is still not defined, the date. The team is still working on fixing some of the bugs. But we're expecting another beta before we release that. That's something I could tell you. And it's probably not very far away. As soon as we define the date, I'll be happy to tweet that. The beta will have a few changes in the syntax. There's been minor changes to simplify things, but it's basically coming out soon. Also, the question is, will this syntax work with PHP code? Well, if you create a PHP-based website in WebMatrix, you cannot write Racer on top of that. It's just pure PHP. And if you write ASP.NET, you would be focused on ASP.NET. Now, I can imagine a way where you can interoperate both, but if you are a PHP developer and you saw right now the little commands and kind of methods that I was using, the functionality, it's very similar to PHP in terms of how easy it is. It's basically something you can just kind of read out. It's a very similar approach. But the difference, of course, is you're still accessing the power of .NET. In the background, it's still object-oriented. Any other question? Okay. Well, thank you very much. Hope this was useful. It was great to be here with you guys. And hopefully next time we'll have time to stay with you longer. Thank you.